Good day. This is October 9th, 2018, in the morning, Pacific Standard Time. It is Tuesday morning. I am going to give you a brief and a review and overview and some insights in the prophetic gifting in the area of watchmen, integrating things, and the discernment. A discerning of spirits of issues that are transpiring currently as I identify them. This is Kathleen Pearl. Welcome to this segment. I will call this the Seahawk. I will call it the Seahawk because on my way returning from a new California Constitutional Convention down in Irvine, which I'll give you a brief overview of what that was. I was coming up Ventura Highway 101 on the coast, and coming towards me overhead was an osprey, a seahawk. It was a juvenile osprey, and it was going towards the ocean. This is the first time ever in my life that I have seen this kind of a bird. It was quite magnificent. In addition to, I believe, it was a sign with profound prophetic significance. And I'll reference this back to the eagle that I saw coming up in Central California, also on Highway 101, that came towards my car. This skyhawk was coming, or osprey, it's also known as seahawk, was coming towards me in the same direction, sort of parallel to the freeway, and then flew over my car. Both birds, within the last month, the eagle and the skyhawk, at very significant times. I was engaged in very significant activities while serving the Lord. Now, I believe the Lord gave this to me as a, quote, double sign. The eagle that I saw, pardon me, has to do, eagles mainly are land birds. The seahawk, or the osprey, is a coastal seabird and forages along the tidal zones and eats sea creatures. This, I believe, is, first of all, there were two. So this was a double portion, a double anointing. And this goes all along with the double significance of a double jubilee, 50 and 50, from 1918-1919, which were very significant years over Jubilee, the end of World War I, moving into the 100 years, and then from 1897, this three-year lap from 97, 98, 99, 1917, 18, and 19, the establishment of Israel through the partitioning of the Arab Israeli lands in 1947-48 and the 49, the war, the establishing of Jerusalem in really 67, 68, 69, with events in the heavens transpiring, and of course the events over 2017, 18, and it will fall into 19. So all of this indicates the 120 years since 1897, 100 years, the double jubilee over Israel, and the double predatory birds, which is significant, and I did a whole link on this, which I'll put below here, in this audio file, and the New California State link, that you might see that, and some of the people that were involved in this double time, this Isaiah 61 and also 1 Kings 2, the double portion from Elijah to Elisha. Let's just quickly look at Isaiah 61. We need to remind ourselves. And then I'm going to give some more scriptures and some more. Isaiah 61, the first time when Yeshua Jesus came, the Spirit of God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then Yeshua in the synagogue in Nazareth closed the scroll and said, "This day this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing," and sat down. And everybody was like, "Wow!" All right. But the second part, which will initiate really the return of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God. The day of the vengeance of our God. Let me suppose that the end of Isaiah, and Isaiah is the 66 overview book in the Old Testament of the entire Genesis through Revelation council, or speaks about, and also in pseudepigraphical, that is other writings, that in this, at the return of the Lord, the righteous will continue to be righteous and the evil will continue to be wicked, will continue to be wicked. And that the opening of the scrolls and the books are to the gods, Jesus's, the revealed Lord in the heavenly realm, reigning because he has overcome and seated at the right hand of the throne of the Father, overcoming and bringing forward his judgment on the wicked and those who destroy the earth. So in the midst, and this was a scripture that I was given before I left. So we're looking at a double portion here. Okay, and is this for everybody? No. Is this for everybody in the church? No. Is this for those whom God has chosen and purposed according to his plans? Many are called, chosen. Many are called. How does it go? But few are chosen. Anyway, it's about being faithful to the calling, and God puts you in that position. And when you get out of that calling or that position through your own ambitions or lust or soulishness or whatever, you have messed up. You have messed up in your life, and you will be rebuked for it. You will be disciplined for it if you belong to the Lord. If you don't belong to the Lord, you will just continue on the path of destruction until you end up on that broad path to hell. The way to heaven is narrow, and few are they who find it. And so we walk in the midst of a perverse and wicked generation. And in the midst of walking through that perversity, what do we find? That Lot was vexed every day at the sin that went on in Sodom. But God knows how to deliver the righteous. God knows. So in the middle of our vexation, we are looking for the deliverance and the keeping power of God. All right, this is a scripture that God has burned on my heart concerning the last week from Haggai chapter 2. In the 7th month, in the 1 and 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord to the prophet Haggai, saying, "Now speak to Zerubbabel, the governor of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the residents of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts." The first thing here is be strong. Let the weak, let the fearful, let the that don't have courageous out. You're out. Just go do what you're going to do. According to the word that I covenanted, if this is a covenant issue, and I'm speaking, this has to do with California and the shaking that will happen okay? To bring the governments, the kingdoms of this earth in line with the government and the reign and the rule of the Messiah. Because Jesus, the Lord, is holy. He's not profane. He doesn't dwell in the midst of unholy and profane people or lands. And that's the Satan's strategy, is to make you unholy and profane, unsanctified. And is it political? Well, your kingdom come, your will be done, Lord, on earth as it is in heaven. What is spiritual warfare? What is warfare? Does it have a political end? Yes, under the government and the headship of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And not when the church is under headship of the states. And make no mistake, most religious organizations, the Roman Catholic Church, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, they are religious. Deepak Chopra, New Age, that New Age one's coming down out of the United Nations. The underpinning of the United Nations is Madame Blavatsky's teaching, the ascended Isis and the ascended hierarchy. It's Babylonian, it's Egyptian. And so it was Nazi Germany, the Fourth Reich, and we'll just use you stupid Christians, right, to pursue our ends. We know some politician that just said that, who says she's a Christian. Like, yeah, so does the Pope. And what is the difference between a religion, because the Reformation influenced all the politics of Scotland? And what is the difference between... So every religious basis is going to have some kind of moral, spiritual influence on the government, because in the people, right? It has to. It is so. And how can you define the difference in the separation of church and state? I'll tell you how. That somebody who's really under the headship of Christ and a servant of his, where the spirit of truth, hello, the spirit of truth will be operating there. The spirit of truth. It says in Leviticus 7, I have it right here on this little bronze, no, it's copper, you know, this little bell from the Philadelphia, the Liberty Bell. It says, let liberty sound throughout the land. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is jubilee, a double portion. Elisha. A double anointing for this time, for such a time as this. So the Reformation set the people free from Roman Catholic tyranny and slavery and abuse, basically, which is the huge issue now. And the United Nations. By the way, atheism under communism. Communism is a religious structure, and so is socialism. Communism is blatant atheism. And violence never worked. Those systems die. They go away. Socialism, okay, is a self, in my opinion. It is self-governed. We can do this along with democracy. We the people, mob rule. All right. And then we got the Romans. Let's bring in the Romans. Here's the Republican form. But there is an order and a government on Mount Zion. And we need to understand, according to Romans 13, that the laws that are in a nation, those are what governments. So you're going to have Sharia law, or Buddhist law, or Hoodoo's law, or atheist law. We don't believe in God, or self-law. I'm a narcissist. We can run it. We don't need God. I'm God, right? Romans 13 says that all laws must come under the laws of God. The laws of nature and the laws of God. And let's make a distinction here. So during the Reformation, when the Roman Catholic Church, they were kicked out after the execution of Mary, Queen of Scots, all the properties were confiscated and put under control of six of the reformers, John Knox being one. And of course, all the Roman Catholic priests who, you know, didn't want to leave, didn't even know the scriptures. You know, they were preaching indulgences and purgatory and all that nonsense. Then they just said, oh my gosh, I got to keep my food ticket. So they went over to the reform the Presbyterian Church. But they did confiscate the assets of the Catholic Church and divided up into three basic parts, one of which was for the priesthood, to continue, you know, to take care of them, their provision and needs. One third was for the poor and one third was for education. And so there was this is closer than anything we've seen before historically in what God wants. All right, back to Haggai. So according to the word, I covenant, and these people, they were called covenanteers. And they're under a different body of law. The body of law is the Judeo-Christian ethic, whereas most of the other European countries were under Pax Romana, were under, Roman law. And so I counted to you the word when I covenant with you. So covenant or compact is people say, oh, we want to be under God's law. We want God to rule us. And we want to be ruled. Our self-rule will be under God's law and his spirit operating in us. Ezekiel 36. Well, you have profaned my name amongst the nations, but for my great name's sake, I will sanctify my name in you. And what is the sanctification process? What's the sign of the Brit or the covenant? Is that you will keep my commandments, laws, statutes, and precepts. Your house will come into order. So these things need to be straightened out. The house needs to come into order. And we educate so that we teach people self-rule. This is how you rule yourself, and this is the evidence of it, the fruit of the Spirit. This is what it looks like. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Two birds, an earthly bird and a sea bird. I will shake these. And the eagle is Jesus said in Matthew 23. Oh God, when are we going to see all these things? Well, it's going to be us in the days of Noah, and it's going to be in the days of Lot. And you're going to see all these things coming to pass, and you're going to be vexed. And I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken. I'm going to shake this. And then you're going to see the eagle. Well, Lord, how do we know? Well, where the eagles are gathered together, there is going to, the eagles gather. These birds are unclean birds. They eat the flesh. If you're carnal, if you're soulless, your flesh is going to get eaten. You will be purged and cleansed. And this is part of the process of making your wedding garments white. You need to watch and pray. The bridegroom is coming, and not enter into carnality and carnality, flesh works, soulish works, ambitions, lust, jealousy, competition, strife. You need to come into order according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And I will shake all the nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace. How do you know? So you're walking in this because you have shalom, you have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, tribulating. That's the crushing of the grain to separate the wheat from the outside skin. Jacob's trouble, Jacob's tribulation, Jacob and Israel is going to go through some tribulation and some separating out. And the fire is coming. And he says, I'm not going to judge this with waters in the days of Noah. It will be judged with fire. And a new heaven and a new earth. It will be new. Why? The demonic powers operating in the spiritual dimension will be removed and bound. And the earth will be renewed, made new, reformed, according to the principles of the Creator's intent in the Garden of Eden before the curse of sin and the fall of Adam. And there will be peace in the 4th and 20th day of this month. All right, what does this look like? And this, I did not understand this for a long time, but I'm going to give you an understanding as I see it and hear it.